Bonjour tout le monde, ici Tangerine. Bienvenue dans mon monde, le monde de Tangerine. Et aujourd'hui, j'ai une star internationale du pop. Et oui, elle chante avec une voix incroyable. Je l'ai vue au party de Fashion Hero avec AJ McLean. Puis elle était là, elle chantait. Fait que j'ai pris une petite chance, puis je suis allée lui donner ma carte, puis je l'ai rencontrée rapidement, rapido presto. Puis les choses se sont concrétisées, puis depuis, j'arrête pas d'écouter ces tunes, dont ma favorite, c'est Summer High. Je vous jure, c'est une tune super happy, ainsi que la majorité de ses chansons. Fait que je veux vous la faire découvrir, c'est Jordan Sugar. Non, c'est pas pour rien, Sugar. Hein? C'est comme du sucre, c'est juste comme tellement doux dans la bouche et dans les oreilles. Donc, juste avant, je vous demanderais de vous abonner, bien sûr, à notre Patreon et notre YouTube Premium. Cela nous aide à créer du contenu de qualité. Je vous rappelle aussi que vous pouvez acheter seulement un podcast. Donc, si ça vous tente de juste avoir celui de Jordan Sugar pour toujours dans votre bibliothèque, mais vous pouvez aller sur le Patreon et choisir seulement celui-là. Alors ça, c'est disponible. Ainsi, sur TikTok, on va avoir les séries bientôt et Jordan Sugar va être là. Donc, je vous invite à le faire. Et c'est maintenant l'heure de la rencontrer. Je vous rappelle, cette fois-ci, ça va être un podcast en anglais. C'est mon premier. Fait que si je fais une couple d'erreurs, c'est juste parfait.
C'est
ça. Oui, c'est qu'on rencontre Jordan. Jordan, welcome. I'm so happy to have you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
I'm like so excited. I heard your voice for the first time at that party, and I could not believe that you're Canadian and that you're so easy to get in touch with. You're happy. You're like close to the people around.
Yes.
Yeah, quite a story with you.
Yeah, it's a big story, but it's crazy. We can get into it if you want.
But of course, yeah. We got all the time. That you can give me.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. In 2020, you sung one of the song of Justin Bieber.
Yeah, I did.
On TikTok?
Mm-hmm.
And then he reposted it?
Yeah. It was, it's quite a story. I mean, I wasn't public with my singing up until 2020. And actually, no one knew I could sing. And I don't even think myself I knew I could really sing. And
then
I didn't. I had no self-confidence, like, with my voice. Like, other things, yes. Like, I was very confident, like, what I did. Like, my basketball, and I knew I was a good drummer. But, like, voice was something else. And then I just started singing. And, you know, my sister was really the one who pushed me to, like, go post, be active on TikTok. Like, I wanted to, but I was like, I'm not good enough. And she was like, no, I think you're actually good enough. And she was like, go for it. And I posted a few Justin Bieber videos because I felt comfortable singing his stuff. He was definitely like my idol. He still is, but he was like really at that time my only artist I felt comfortable singing, and I knew I could do a really good cover.
He's really happy, you know? He's fun to listen to.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Yeah. And so I just went for it. I just went for it and I posted and I posted a lot of Justin Bieber videos, and then he picked up on one. I mean, a lot of them went viral. Some of them got like millions of views. I did like impressions. I did other content, and people started noticing a very big similarity in, like, you know, our voice and our story. And they wanted to, I don't know, they just tagged him a bunch of times, and it got to him.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you saw your post, that he posted your post, you're like, your life just changed there. First of all, your confidence.
Yeah.
You know, everything. Where you're heading. Everything also
changed. Everything changed. I think, I don't know exactly what I felt that day, like that moment, because I just screamed and I probably woke up all the neighbors, but it's fine. I was just...
It's your idol,
too. It was like out-of-body experience. It was really just like, I still am in shock because it doesn't feel real. Because, like, how did Justin Bieber repost my video? Like, it doesn't make sense. He doesn't do that. And when he does do it, it's very rare. And so I just felt like, wow, like, if I needed anything to solidify, like, what I was doing, this is exactly what I needed, hearing it from him. And again, I don't know the reason he posted. I don't know if he liked the way I was singing. I don't know if it's because it kind of brought him back to that time in his life. Like, I don't even know the reason. He never reached out. Who knows?
No, he didn't
never reached out. Never. After that, it was just, he put me on his story and done. Like, I never heard from him.
Wow, did you try to contact
him? I did. I replied. Yeah. Well, I replied to a story just like, I cannot believe you just did this. Like, you have no idea. You just made my life. But, I mean, he gets millions of messages a day. I couldn't expect him to.
Like, well, I'm sure you're going to have a chance to talk to him because
with
your voice and with all that's happening to you, the chances of you meeting him are pretty high.
They're there. Yeah. I know it's going to happen. It's just a matter of like getting there, but I know it's there. But I know.
You're a songwriter also?
Yeah, I mean I do quite a bit. I'm a songwriter. I'm a singer, I'm a songwriter. I play instruments as well. I've been a drummer since I was 3. Like, that's really where I started my, like, musical journey. 3, people thought I'd be a drummer. So, and then I picked up guitar and piano later on in my life, more when COVID hit, when I had more time to, like, do it.
Oh, my God. So, that's recent.
It's been very recent. But I love playing. I write most of my songs on piano or guitar because it's easier than the drums. Although, I always have, like, a drum beat in my head, you know, because I was just born on that. But, yeah.
Most people I meet that play... that play drums are usually very, like, hyperactive.
Mm-hmm.
You don't seem to be hyperactive.
Well, I think I think I'm more chill. I'm more, like, you know, laid back. I don't know. I am very hyper when it comes to certain things, but I tend to just be chill, especially when I'm, you know, I don't know. It depends on the day, and it's just, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm tired a bit, but no, I don't think so. I don't think I'm a hyper person. I think there's definitely times where I am, but no, I'm mostly just chill and yeah.
So really. In 2020, you started playing new instruments and did you write some songs while we were confined?
Yeah. So that's where I really started my songwriting. I did less of it at the beginning, but now I do it like constantly. So I did write like a song back in 2020 that hasn't been released because there hasn't been anything to it. But that was like my first go at songwriting and people seemed to really like it. It was on the guitar, very simple, about kind of the story about just, you know, stop letting the fear get to you and just go for your dream. Cause like, anything's possible, right?
That's what happened to you, right?
Well, that's why I wrote the song. I write what I know because I don't want to be like writing about something I don't know because it doesn't make sense, you know? It's like I write what I know and that's what I do best.
Wow. Yeah. How old are you right now?
I'm 20.
You're 20. Wow. Yeah. So much ahead for you. It's like incredible. Yeah. You're from Toronto?
Originally, yeah.
And when did you move here?
I was born in Toronto. I moved here when I was 9 years old. So I've been here for 11 years.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. And I want to know about the French.
You have to ask. It's okay. I know. Don't worry about it.
Because I thought you're like, I'm like, she can't be living in Montreal for a long time if she doesn't speak the French that well.
You know what?
I gotta ask.
And the sad part is that I did go to like a French immersion in Toronto. So yeah. I kind of started at a young age with the French. I just think that it never stuck because my parents are English. My whole family is English. I mean, they know French, but it's not like something we do at home. Like we don't speak. I don't watch anything. I don't watch my shows in French. My friends are all English. My school is English.
I'm going to tell you the best secret. That's how I learn Spanish.
Yeah.
Get a French boyfriend.
but honestly, I think that it just never stuck. It was never part of my life on a day to day. And I had my French class in school, but I mean, once a week doesn't cut it.
No,
and
of
especially
course.
When you have to use Google Translate to like do your work because like it's just not in your life, so you don't see it enough. You know, if it's not there, it's
you don't
out of
need
sight,
it
out of
that
mind.
Much. But I'm always like wondering if it's hard for an English person around Montreal to get around. Like, do you meet a lot of people that don't?
No. You know,
don't
it's funny.
Speak the English?
No. I mean, maybe.
I'm
maybe
surprised.
Maybe like a few people, and as I, you know, do more of, as I get into more of my career, I'm definitely seeing like in the Montreal side a lot more French, and like you have to, you know, like French podcasts or like French stuff like this that maybe like, you know, I have to get into, but I'm not really in that world of like the French side of the industry. I'm more like, you know, so I don't really need it. And, you know, I'm not planning on doing a French song and, you know,
no.
My job is English. I mean, what I do is I, you know, everything.
Yeah. Because you're, you know, all your idols are all people from, you know, the States, and they're like, you know, like Taylor Swift, like Justin Bieber,
they're all
the pop stars, right? And
Justin is Canadian, no?
Yes, Stratford. He's from Stratford, Ontario. Yeah.
But you have such a pop voice. It's amazing. And I can't believe that it took you so long to know that you could sing.
I don't know. It's I don't know if confidence isn't there. It really blocks you mentally. You know, it's like anything. If you don't think you're good at something and your brain's like, no, doesn't matter who tells you anything else. Like you're really just stopping yourself. And I think that that's what happened. No matter how good I thought I was, I didn't think I was ever good enough. I kind of need reassurance. Like my sister's like, you're good. My friends are like, oh, you are kind of good. And when I posted on TikTok is when I really got the feedback, like, wow, you are good. And obviously I was like, the more people say it, the more you believe it. Right.
Yeah,
and then you get something like the Justin Bieber story. And it's like really a confirmation that you're on the right path, or like that you're, you know, maybe you are good at this. And I think I just needed like that reassurance from somebody, and to get it from him was like really special.
In your head though, that's such an importance. Mm-hmm. Like I used to do like emceeing in bars and stuff like that. And when you get into or a stadium and it's full of people, you got to believe yourself that first that you're good, or else it's going to be so hard to make everybody else believe
that
you're good.
That's
so it's the first step.
Yeah. Yeah.
But of course, the reassurance from the other people, right?
Yeah.
It feels good that you're on the right path.
Hell yeah.
But then after that, it come, how did it go? Like to be on the Fashion Hero. How, like, what's the chronological?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely crazy. So again, I started posting. I worked with Vito Loprano, who was the former executive producer and talent manager, Celine Dion. So I worked with
him. He called you? What?
Yeah, it was kind of like a story with, it just, through connections, we met. And we started working together, and we produced a couple songs together. And we, my song was on Virgin Radio. My first single that I put out got on Virgin 95.9. So it was really cool. And then we released a bunch of songs. We have 7 out now. And then it was through a contact of a contact. They saw me on Justin Bieber's story. They saw I was growing. I was 18 at the time. They saw I was growing, like, you know, a young artist growing, you know, in the industry. And they reached out saying, we love your content. We love what you do. We love your story and like your message of like empowering people through your story.
Yeah.
And so they're like, this is perfect for our concept that we have for our show, The Fashion Hero, where it's all about empowering people to be like their best selves and like, you know, inner beauty beats anything.
Yeah. It's like real people becoming real models.
Exactly. Exactly. Right? Because like the model, the word model has changed so much in the last like 10 years, I want to say. Like,
wow.
You know, it's not the same as it was, you know, 20 years ago.
The body positivity movement is very strong.
Yeah.
And, you know, accept yourself as you are. And even like all the clothing company, the lingerie, they're all saying as soon as they get, you know, a regular type body, like somebody, like an everyday, they sell even more.
Yeah.
It it's, yeah, you know. Well,
they're promoting all types of body sizes and body types, and yeah, it encourages anybody to feel confident with who they are. You know, I can be a plus size, still be a model, and that's, like, encouraging, you know. So I think that the show definitely represents that. And then I have a song called Good In My Shoes, which basically is, like, I'm good with who I am. I'm confident with myself. I'm good in my own skin. So they love the song, and they're like, this would be a great theme song for our show. Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so they're like, we want it. So it's the theme song for the Fashion Hero now. Good In My Shoes, A New Kind of Beautiful. And you'll hear it if you watch it. So on Paramount Plus Canada, the Fashion Hero, you'll see between every, where a commercial is supposed to be, it ends with, it's a new kind of beautiful. And then it comes back and it says it again. And it's just like the intro. So yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And to work with AJ McLean, and it's just, it was amazing.
Yeah. So they reached out to you?
They reached out through a contact. And they're like, we want you to be the Fashion Hero Kids host. And
that was the first, it wasn't like, you're a mentor, mm-hmm, right? On the Fashion Hero, right, second season.
Yes. Season two.
Yeah.
Filmed in South Africa.
Yeah. That must have been crazy.
I mean, to just go to South Africa, to somewhere where I never thought I would have to go for work. You know, I mean, it was more like a vacation spot or something. And then you go and you're like doing a show and you're staying at like the Sun City Resort, the Lost Palace. And like, that's where they filmed like the Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore movie, like Blended. So I watched that movie like a million times. One of my favorite like comedies. And like, now I'm there, like living in it. And for a week, I got to film. I got to film the episode of the Fashion Hero Kids, and then the music video to my song "Good In My Shoes." And like, it was just a week of like one of the best experiences, literally ever.
Okay, so your job on the Fashion Hero was to show the contestants how to dance on your...
So there was two kind of roles on the show. So the first one being the Fashion Hero Kids host.
Yeah.
So it was a bit different than the adults portion because they had only flown down the two winners of the Fashion Hero Kids, one boy, one girl. And so they flew them down, and they were on one segment of one episode, episode 7, the episode that I mentored, just saying their story, like, hey kids, like, get out there, be confident, just a younger generation saying it to their age group. And it's, you know, and I was the host for them. So I met them, I got to mentor a little bit with them, tell them my story, encourage them to encourage others.
Wow, you definitely fit the role.
Thank you.
20 yeah, years old and natural looking also. You know, you've got this beautiful young teenage
thank you going on.
Yeah. So
the
words that you're coming out with in your music and the positivity is great for the kids, right?
Yeah.
Was it fun to work with kids?
Yeah, I mean, it was different. I mean, it's cool. It was just only two kids, really, but it was just cool to meet them and see how like confident they are, and they were great on camera, and they had a great message, and so it was cool to like see the younger generation, especially now, like all social media standards and like, you know, all that stuff. They were really like confident with who they were, and to just show that to the younger generation, where I feel is probably not as confident because of, you know, they're trying to live up to these standards on social media, which is horrible because
don't you think it's changing?
It is changing, but I feel like social media too is also a really toxic place where people, you know, there's so many filters and people can do really whatever. And I mean, you see it all the time. People don't look the same on camera as they do in person because, you know, they change and kids see that, but they don't see the other side. And so they're like, oh, she's so, you know, why does she always looks good? Her hair is always done, her makeup. And then you see her in person, it's like a filter and they don't actually look like that. But it could be really toxic for kids at a really young age to see all that stuff and be like, I want to look like them. But then they actually don't even look like that. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's starting to happen. So to see like two kids that felt really good with who they were, it was really cool. Yeah.
It's crazy. These filters. I can't believe it. I don't use them.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I don't because I want people to recognize me. me, right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it happens all the time. But no, but if I want to talk about the other side, I was a mentor on episode 7, basically sharing my story to the adults of that show, of that episode. Like, I am living my dream, doing what I want to do. You guys can do that too. So that's, so I was also for the kids and also for the, like, the main show. And so my episode was filming a music video. So how good in your shoes do you feel filming a music video? How much can you express yourself in dancing, in song? And so they all had to do, we all had to learn a dance. And if you watch the music video, you'll see, like, all the contestants dancing, and they're a part of the song and just really being themselves, which is what the song's about. And yeah, that was my role for episode 7. So I was, yeah.
Was there a choreography?
There was a choreographer. She was amazing. And she taught the contestants how to dance. And I kind of did my own thing because that's what I felt good doing.
Oh, okay.
Just being myself and just kind of vibing with the music. And I needed more dance lessons than 4 hours because my dancing has to get better. But the contestants had a whole dance and I kind of just did my own thing. If you watch them, I'm kind of just doing my own thing, and the dancers are in back of me doing the choreography, and that I had to eliminate the two, like, I don't want to say the worst because that's not fair, but the two ones that didn't necessarily perform as well as the others, so I had to actually, like, eliminate them from the show, which is like real life, you know. It's not just like a fake show, it's reality. So
but you must be hard to choose.
Well, I kind of had help from, like, the judges, the coaches, I should say, and everything else. But yeah, no, it was definitely a hard decision to, like, it takes heart to, like, go up there and break someone's heart, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, did you spend a lot of time with them? Because sometimes when you do spend, like, a few days.
It's harder.
You got, like, you know, the emotions that come with it.
I didn't spend a terrible amount of time with them because there was just really no time to spend with them. I got to see them. I was only there for 7 days. So I really, when they weren't on set, the contestants, they were, you know, doing their own thing. And I was also doing my own thing. I had a bunch of stuff to do when I was there. No, I didn't get to know them that much, but I definitely got to speak to a lot of them on set, especially where it was like a 16-hour day. So we had a lot of...
Wow.
Yeah, it was really hot.
Was it like that for the 7 days? Were you like totally busy and couldn't enjoy it?
For 3 days, it was pretty crazy. Like early mornings, like 4 a.m., wake up, hair, makeup, you know, the whole thing. But no, for the rest, I kind of enjoyed myself. We went on a safari. We did a few things. So it was really cool.
Oh, there's lots of like super wild animals there.
There was some crazy, the safari was like, it's not like your normal park safari in like Quebec. This thing was real, and it's real life, and it's their habitat. Like, it's where it's their home. Like, you're marching on them, and so you're kind of in their life, and it was really cool. Like, it was huge and it was gorgeous, and the animals were there, and like, you don't know when they're gonna show up because they're not like in a cage. Like, it was all just like, it's their wild. And it was really amazing to see all the animals and like just be in like a different side of the world that, like, you know, it's so cool.
I see people on social media that you know, travel there, and from their room, they've got a room full of windows and they see wild animals. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a few monkeys and birds like kind of outside the rooms.
Hippopotam.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were pretty big too. Hippos.
Hippos. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I was looking for the word.
No, don't worry. I'm very good at understanding French, but I can't speak it back.
But I don't doubt it.
So if you ask a question in French, I'll respond in English.
You know what, Jordan? My best friend, he's from Ottawa. We've been friends forever, like more than your age. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, more than you. We've been friends, and he would come every weekend, and I speak French with, you know, with my husband, with my kids, whatever. He understands everything I say, but he cannot cannot say a word. It's the same thing. But he's got a hard time with other people that talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's used to my yeah. like the way cool. I talk and that's my cool. intonation.
But that's you cool. live in Vancouver, no, Tangerine? You lived a bit in Vancouver,
yeah,
you told us.
Yeah, I was in Vancouver for a while. Yeah, I was in Vancouver for a while. If I, you know, if I spend a lot of time with English people, I become like almost English speaking.
Oh, amazing.
But,
there you go.
But now, like, I have, like, it's like you. I'm, like, around French speaking people all the time right mm-hmm. now. So, you know, my English is kind of rusty.
No, it sounds fine. Don't worry. You're sounding good. You're sounding good. Don't worry about
you,
it.
Thank you. I need reassuring now. No.
Let's ask TikTok. Turn. Let's ask TikTok what they think.
Yeah, yeah. Think no, hey, my God. They don't. They, yeah.
I don't even know who's here on my TikTok. Hey, everybody. Welcome.
Yeah, you're going to have to do that at the break, you know. But now the first single that you took out, was it before you went on the fashion
year? Yeah, yeah. So I had
It Leaves Me.
I had three songs out before the fashion year.
Wow. So is Caroline, is she the one that, Caroline Bernier?
Caroline, yeah, Caroline.
She's the one that called you?
She's the one that reached out and she was like, we're looking for someone young to be the mentor or to be the host for the Fashion Hero Kids. And we saw, you know, we saw Jordan and we think she's a really good fit for this role. And if she's up for the part, like, we want her to have it.
How long did you have before you actually took the flight and to get ready for that?
Yeah, I want to say maybe a year and a half.
Oh, so you had time to get ready mentally and practice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's quite the job to host a show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'm very good off the cuff. Like, you put me in a room and I can kind of figure out what to do in the situation and how to, like, handle myself. But, no, I mean, it was definitely an experience and we had kind of a day of rehearsal. So it wasn't all, like, right now. But there was a lot of times where they're like, we're filming and you kind of just had to be there and do your part. So, yeah.
What was the most nervous part for you?
Most nervous part? I don't really get nervous. I think...
No. You know, were you like more...
I think my most nervous part was when I was performing with AJ McLean.
Yeah.
Because it was not even nerves, but it was just like, I'm sitting next to this like absolute legend and like, you know, he's just so cool. And because I did a song with him at the end of episode 7, I played guitar and he was singing. So I think it's more of like, don't mess up the guitar, don't mess up the guitar, because it was all one take and like, I didn't want to have to redo it. And so I had to just do everything. And I was like, it's all in the moment. It's all like, I just have to be there and like do what I know I can do. And I got to play the guitar with him. And I think that was just like, cause it was a lot, like there was no like messing up. So I was just like, I gotta go. I just gotta be there. And I had to play the guitar and it went well. But it was more just like, oh,
yeah, you didn't want to mess up.
You don't want to mess up with AJ, you know?
Well, I don't think you want to mess up with anybody. But of course, if someone you look up to.
Yeah, it was just, I was like, yeah.
He seems like such an easygoing guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We had a great time. I mean, I met him, like, we were up in his, like, suite in the hotel, and, like, we were rehearsing our part, like, with the guitar, and he was just so cool, and we had a great time, and he was, he was really awesome.
I heard that he wanted you to co-host, right?
He mentioned it. We never spoke about it. I know he mentioned it, so I'm like, okay, he's leaving the door open for it. I'm always down to, you know, host a show.
Yeah, and it was filmed, and... like a few times,
yeah,
that he said it. So you know he's gonna live up.
Yeah, I'm hoping he sticks by it. You never know, and I'm definitely excited for what can come out of that. If something does, I would love to co-host with him. I mean, why not? It'd be amazing, right?
Yeah,
I have a question.
Yeah,
I was wondering. Before, you know, and I used to work there, people would do a lot of video clips, you know. It was kind of the main thing when you were producing, and especially in pop music.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still in video clips and all, or is it something of the past?
Video clips in terms of music videos?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, music videos are still really big, and I have three out. Yeah.
So still today?
Yeah, it's still a big deal.
And where do you propose them usually? Just on your own site? Or there's a like new place that you can see it?
Music videos, normally YouTube.
Yes.
YouTube or like my website that will lead you to like YouTube and all that. Yeah, so.
With it, is it like 300,000 views in like a year or something on your video?
Yeah,
Leaves Me.
Leaves Me was my first video and it did really well for itself. And yeah, it was a first kind of go and it was all one take. If you notice, it was all done in one shot with no editing. So that was a challenge, but it was. I was doubted and I said, I'm going to do it because I know I could do anything that I want when I set my mind to it. And so I said, I can do one take. And they were like, I don't know. You know how hard not even the most professional can do one take. And I'm like, I can do one take. And I did it. And I mean, wow. I don't think it was more like, oh, I can do it. So I'm going to prove it. I think it's just like, I know I could do it because I feel like, it was just easy. It's easier. I don't know. I felt like it was natural for me to just do everything in one take. And even now when I do my videos, everything's really one take. And I try to not do cuts. If I don't get in the first try, I'll just redo it. But I mean, that whole video took 12 tries. And the 12th clip is the last one that I did. And that's the one you see in the video. I just gave it my all. And I was like, I can do this. And I
yeah, but it's got to reflect yourself now. Yourself with. You know, that we're not all perfect and that we can, you know, that one take is good. You know, it doesn't have to be like, no, like your hair doesn't move or, you know, it's got to be real now.
Yeah.
That's what people want, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's, yeah, and totally. I think just for me, I like doing one take. I think it's more natural. I think it's easier. For me, at least for that video, I knew I could do it. I knew I can go from the drums to the guitar to the piano. I know I can roam the house because it wasn't something like, I don't know. For me, it just came natural. Like it felt natural to me to do it all in one take. And I wanted like the cool shot of like the whole house in one shot. And I mean, it worked. So it was really cool.
So how about your social life? How did it change since you got all this?
Social life, like, I don't know. I mean, I definitely have less time to, like, you know, do what I, like, hang out with friends or, like, whatever. But I definitely don't make an excuse to not see them. I hang out with my friends, like, if you're talking about friends, right?
Yeah.
Like, friends, family. I really see them a lot. Like, I really spend time. There was a really big point where I kind of forgot. That sounds awful, but my career became so, I guess I got so consumed, like, oh, I'm doing so much that like, oh, I can't. And then I kind of realized like, but I'm still young. I could still have fun with my friends. Like I'm not at the point where I'm like busy to the point where I can't do anything else, you know? So I said, I'm going to reserve like 1 or 2 days a week where I can hang out with my friends on a night, you know, and go out and still be like 20, you know, even though I'm doing all this other stuff. And I think it's important to have like a work-life balance because I wouldn't be able to like do what I'm doing without like, I need to live to write songs. I need to go out to write music. If I'm like sitting in my house, you can't write music. You need to experience stuff and be alive to like write about it.
Yeah.
And so if I'm not doing that stuff, like there's no content to write about, you know?
Yeah.
So I realized like I need to get out. I need to do more. I need to experience life to write a good song.
Yeah, and writing is like therapy, right?
Oh,
My son is a songwriter, too, and he always says that. He goes, you know, I don't need a psychologist. I just need to play, you know, write my songs.
Write music.
And every time that he feels something, he writes about it. And sometimes it's kind of funny because I'll listen to his music, and then I live something through the music that he's living. That he didn't talk to me about.
That's right.
And that's incredible. Does your family feel that also?
Yeah, I think it definitely, I think my music's really relatable. Again, my message, the way I write songs is keeping it universal, but also personal to myself and like authentic to like the true meaning. So I make a song, but I try to not mention a person necessarily, like a gender or like a name. I want to keep it like where you can listen to the song and put your story in it, but then it's also personal to myself.
And
so,
put yourself into it, like, because you want, if you're, you want people to think, oh my God, I lived that
like,
through my,
it could
you
be
know,
my
life,
song.
Life.
Like yeah, I could have wrote this, you know what I'm saying? And so I that's what I want people to, you know, feel when they listen, that they can be themselves and put themselves in my lyrics and just feel the way I felt singing it or writing it or whatever, you know?
Yeah. So yeah. I guess with, when you're going out with your friends, trying to get new ideas for songs.
It's not even like trying new ideas. Yeah. But it's more just living and to get, I mean, if, you know, if you don't go through like, let's say heartbreak, you can't write a heartbreak song. And if you don't go, you can only get to heartbreak by like going out and like having a, you know what I'm saying? Like you can't just sit in your room and feel heartbreak.
Agreed. Right? When it, you know, with the confinement, it was hard, you know, like even you get dogs didn't see anybody.
Right.
So when now they see people come in, they're like
freak
crazy
out.
And freak out,
yeah,
right?
COVID dogs.
You have to, but we have to go out. We have to see people. We have to experience stuff. But it must have changed so much from before to now, because when you're going out, people are recognizing you.
Yeah.
Did some friends like stop hanging around with you because they feel like they're like pointed at or looked at too much when they go out?
No, I don't think I'm, again, like I'm very, I guess I am very humble. I don't really get like, oh my God, you're Jordan. I mean, I get it here and there, but it's not something, it's not like to the point where like I'm getting stopped on the street, like by anybody, like all the time and being like, oh, I think it's just over time. I guess it will happen the more you get, you know, more you go into it. But for right now, I think my friends know who I am. And I don't think I've changed so drastically where they're like, you're not even the same person anymore. Like, they know who I am. I've been the same. Music has always been a part of my life. Now it's just bigger. And I mean, they love my music. They're very supportive. I don't think I've changed that much. I mean, I've definitely changed some things, but I don't think it's anything where they're like, I don't even know you anymore. I don't think they don't feel like that, because I've kept the same friends since I was, I've had the same group of friends since I was like 10 years old.
Wow.
So they've really known me for a long time. And so if they really saw like a drastic change, they probably would have been like, you're not the same, but I know how to put music to the side when I'm with them and kind of just be
the
same
spend,
person. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you spend a lot of time with the fans when they come in and see you or like, I quite take the time. Like I really like talking with fans, and my husband gets really upset at
really?
Me. He's like,
you got to talk to the fans.
Stop talking with them. You know? Mm-hmm.
No, I love talking with the fans. I think, well, they're the reason I'm doing this. Like,
yeah.
Without them, like, I wouldn't be doing this. And so it's more like a responsibility. It's not who I am to say no. I'm very inviting. I'm very like friendly. I'm, like if they want to say hi, like come up to me, say hi. I'm not going to say no, you know? I really want to have that one-on-one connection. And even on TikTok, like I go live pretty much daily. And
daily?
Yeah, for hours. Wow. For hours and hours most days, like 3 to 5 hours, sometimes like 8.
3 to 5 hours?
Yeah, they know. They can tell you.
My God.
You thought I was working, you Tangerine? Huh? Yeah. 3 to 5 hours a day on TikTok. I tip my hat to that.
You see, you said that to my producer now. He's going to have me on TikTok 3
yeah.
to 5.
Yeah, no, it's TikTok, it's fun because it's not just TikTok anymore. It's a community that we built together and you start getting the really, really good fans that stick with you for, let's say, a 3-hour TikTok live. And they're there and, you know, they're with you and they're starting to know who you are and I'm starting to learn about their life and it's more of a community rather than a follower or a fan. Like I don't look at them as fans. I look at them as they're part of this journey with me and they're the ones who stick with me through a live, like let's say a 3 to 5 hour live. And they want to know about me. They want to know what I'm doing and they're here for the ride and they're more than just, oh, you're a fan. No. They're like a community. And without them, it would, the live wouldn't be as fun. Like, we actually have a friendship that we have, and, you know, we laugh, and it's kind of like, it's like a social friendship, like a social media friendship that we all built.
Yeah, because some people just come back and you know them now.
Oh,
and
like, it's like, you have your main, like, 15, 20, 30 people that are constantly there and, like, want to know what you did today, and, like they're all just so amazing, and they're probably watching right now. I can't see, but I definitely know that the main ones are there.
Wow. Yeah. It's a lot of work on the social media, but I guess music now is that. It's really important to have a good community on social media to be able to
totally.
To get a lot of
like exposure, like more publicity, exposure.
That's what way.
Yeah.
But pour que ta musique devienne populaire aussi, because now if you don't have followers, your music is
exactly
like, it's kind of like an extra job nowadays.
Yeah,
it's like you can't just write music and play music. You need to be on social media. You need to be a marketing person also.
Yeah.
It's crazy how it's changed.
Yeah, and I think that, I've been going live on TikTok pretty much every day for a year. I started doing, like, a daily live for a year. Like, it's just become part of my schedule and routine, and it's honestly, it's just so much fun. And at first, you know, you didn't really have a team. You kind of just had, you know, your people would come in, and just, if they wanted to be like stay on your live, they would. If not, they would disappear. But then over a year, you start gaining the really like loyal, supportive ones who want to be there and want to watch you go live. And there's been so many times just somebody's like, "You're not live today. I hope you're like okay. Like normally you're live." And or they text me going, "Are you going live? Like I want to make sure I'm available. Like I want to see." Like it's becoming that. It's not just a live anymore. It's like, I guess what I can say is like I feel like I've grew a community where everyone can feel safe on my live, and if somebody's having a bad day, they can always come into my live and I can make it better, or we can make it better.
That's sweet. Yeah, that's very sweet.
Yeah, I think they know that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's been an hour already, so we're gonna have to take a break. So, you know, this is like the end of our free podcast.
Let's
go. Then the rest, if they want, they can have the rest of the podcast, buy it, or get subscribe to my channel.
Okay, so we're done with the TikTok live.
No.
Oh, that can stay.
For the live, yes.
Okay,
of course.
Perfect.
They can stay, and we will have some cuts for you also for the other hour. But now, for the people at home, how can they can reach you, and what's in for them in the next few
weeks,
pourquoi
months.
Là, je manque mon anglais tout d'un coup.
And
I was doing fine,
it's all good.
And then
no worries.
Bah.
So don't worry about it. Where you can find my music is very simple. My name is Jordan Sugar. That's JordynSugar. So you guys can find me on Spotify, on Apple Music, on Amazon Music, on SoundCloud, any streaming platform. YouTube, go sub. My Instagram, my TikTok. We have X, we have Threads, we have...
You're everywhere.
Literally anywhere. Just look up Jordan Sugar and it won't be too hard to find me.
Yes. Thank you. And we will see you after the break. So stay with us.
Thank you so much.
Restez avec nous. Jordan Sugar va être avec nous encore un petit bout, nous parler de tous ses projets futurs ainsi que plusieurs... plusieurs trucs qu'elle a vécu en Afrique du Sud. J'ai bien hâte d'apprendre ça. Alors, restez avec nous. À bientôt. Vous avez aimé ça? Vous avez écouté jusqu'au bout? Mais ça, c'était pas le bout. C'est la fin de la partie gratuite. Vous voulez écouter la suite? Rencontrer tous nos invités hot? Ben, je vous invite à nous encourager. Patreon.com, le monde de Tangerine.